is up, bros? I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we are a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. This week on the podcast, we are going to be discussing the things that we've watched in Weekly Watch. And then we will be breaking down the new Netflix movie, A Family Affair. So with that, let's say we get rolling.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Hello, my name is Brucker Nurse, and I want to tell you about my fun horror movie podcast called Autopsy of a Horror Movie. On my show, I like to have fun dissecting out what makes a horror movie scary, what worked for it, what didn't, what types of fears does it play off of. Is it an allegory for any sort of message? I don't know, but let's find out. Also, I like to watch slashers. I'm a big slasher guy, so I'll watch a slasher and do a kill grade for it. I will cover the kills, and I will tell you how I would grade it based on shock, method, style points, and a fourth category that is a reflection of the movie. Besides those, I'll have fun with special topic episodes, commentary tracks, interviews with guests, including some Shudder directors. So, I just like to have a fun time over here. If any of this sounds interesting to you, or you just want to come check me out, please head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere they listen to podcasts and search for Autopsy of a Horror Movie. Also, be sure to find me on Instagram at Brucker Horror, where you get fun updates and some cool little posts that I do. Thanks for listening, and I hope that you get to enjoy the show, and I'll see you on Instagram. Bye.
All right, first up with Weekly Watch. I don't know if, did you watch anything this week?
Yeah, I had a Role Models, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So anyway, starting off this week, a bit of a slow week. I started a bunch of movies and not a bunch of movies. I started a bunch of different things and I slowly like finished them.
you see, it's funny you say that because like just really quickly going off, you know, Brucker's advertisement for his Autopsy of a Horror Movie. Thinking about horror movies, there's one that I've like been really wanting to finally watch, but for how much it shat on when it comes to like horror remakes, I'm like so like not expecting good things. And there's like one scene that I've seen that just makes me feel uncomfortable. Have you ever seen the remake for A Nightmare on Elm Street?
No.
Okay, so I finally like saw the scene in the context. I'm just like, okay, like I don't even think Freddy is like this like effed up. But there's a scene where Nancy is able to bring Freddy into one of her I think this is what happened. She brings him into one of her nightmares or whatever. And he's just like, "Oh, so now that you've got me in your in like your arena or whatever, something like that, what are you going to do?" And she says, "F you." And he goes like, "Ooh, sounds like fun." I'm like,
ew.
Oh, God.
Well, that does make sense because isn't Freddy supposed to be a pedophile?
Yes, but they freaking cranked it up to an 11.
Gross. Gross. All you have to do is just allude to the fact that he might be one, and that's enough for me.
No, dude, like
anything outside of that is too much.
Yeah. They're like freaking he goes into, "Oh, I think we're moving too fast. How about we just hang first?" And like he like freaking like hangs her over this ledge and she sees all these devs. I'm just like, "What the fuck is this scene?" And that like that line, I'm just like, I don't know if I want to watch this movie now. But you know what? At the same time, another remake. Have you ever seen Rob Zombie's Halloween?
I don't think I've watched any of those ones.
Okay, you don't really need to.
Yeah, like I've been basing my like my Halloween watching based off of what you've recommended. So I've only watched anything involving Michael.
Okay,
like I haven't watched three, and I haven't watched
Rob Zombies. Michael.
I'm not counting those three. Oh, okay. Everything else I've watched. It's just not Rob Zombie and not three.
Okay. what I like, okay, so there's like, I'm sorry, just getting on to a tangent here with horror remakes. Just one more thing. What I there are two versions of Rob Zombie's Halloween, and I hate the freaking unrated one for one reason, and they change how he breaks out of the oh my god, sanitarium, wherever the hell he's locked up. In the original theatrical cut, he's literally being led to like another freaking cell or some shit like that. He's, you know, he's handcuffed, everything, walking down the halls, but he's able to get an upper hand on the freaking guards. He kills them, and that's how he escapes. In the freaking unrated cut, you have these two security guards that are about to do something to a particular inmate, and Michael stops it, thank God. But I'm just like, I don't need that for the reason that Michael escapes. Like, I shouldn't be surprised because it's Rob Zombie, but just here, seeing that scene from A Nightmare on Elm Street just completely reminded me of that. Unnecessary, gross scenes in horror films. Like, do we really need that shit?
Nope, not even a little bit.
Like,
you only need that if it helps the story or helps kind of get your point across. You don't need to throw it in for some unnecessary bullshit.
Yeah. And what sucks is, like, the theatrical cut is very hard to come by nowadays for Halloween. So you're usually stuck with the unrated version. And that's probably a reason why I haven't watched Rob Zombie's Halloween in years, because I freaking hate that scene has to be in there.
Man. That shit sucks, dude.
Right? Ugh. But sorry, anyway, getting to what you watched.
Yeah, so what I've watched, I started watching the newest season of My Adventures with Superman, and there was like, I had started an episode and then had to like stop because of kids and stuff. So, and then I started watching a little bit of The Acolyte, this new Star Wars show, which, not great.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
Dude, it is rough. I'm pushing through because I'm like, I also felt the same way about some other shows. I'm like, I'm pushing through with this one, and it's so hard. Like when Tuesdays come around, like, it's seriously, I have absolutely nothing better to do than watch this, and I'm like, damn. Okay, cool. So I'll watch it, and then after I'm just like, gosh, I don't need to watch the next one, and then I do, and I'm just like, gosh damn it, like, what's wrong with me?
Bro, if like a show's bad, don't like freaking force yourself to watch
it. I know. Well, this is ruining the Star Wars kick I've been on.
Yeah, so then stop. Listen,
no, like, I'm still on a Star Wars kick, which sucks, because like, I just finished Jedi Survivor, and I'm like, I'm still freaking reeling from that, because I really like that game, despite it kicking my ass five ways to Sunday. It was good. It was a really good game, and it's just, the show's just not do it. It's like almost there. It's just they keep throwing in random shit that I'm just like, eh.
Okay, have you watched Revenge of the Sith recently? Have you watched that?
It's been a hot minute.
Okay. After you finish The Acolyte, I don't know how many episodes are left, watch Revenge of the Sith. That will cure everything. That will leave a good taste of Star Wars in your mouth.
Dude, DJ actually sent me a video a little while ago of someone clipping together all of the scenes from, like, tying in Revenge of the Sith to the Clone Wars show. Because they have, like, clips and stuff of, like timeline, because like Obi-Wan's off doing his own mission, and then he's like talking about, oh, I'm going to this planet, and it's like the one that he was at with Grievous, and like doing all that shit. It was such a good little clip, and I'm like, gosh, that just re-sparked the Star Wars kick I was on. I'm just like, yes, this is the best. Awesome. And then The Acolyte happens, and
just like, son of a bitch.
Dude, and it has like cool elements about it too. That's what pisses me off. Like, they have I mean, I know we've seen one in the Clone Wars, but they have a Wookiee Jedi.
Yeah, that's cool as fuck.
Yeah. And then like, and I'm like, dude, that's freaking dope. And you think he's going to kick some ass. He's like, cause you see him and you see some people like, I don't know what they're trying to do. Just trying to get into his little compound wherever he's living. Cause it just cuts to him. Cause like they're searching for him. And then he like roars at them and then like stands up and he's like in his full Jedi gear. And I'm like, dude, this is going to be sick. Like, I want to see some Wookiee Jedi action. And then the next episode, he's freaking dead. And I'm like, dude, are you shitting me?
That's some bullshit.
You freaking cheaped us out of Wookiee Jedi action?
Yeah, that's some horseshit.
Yeah, so it's like, it's shit like that. And I'm like, God damn it. But yeah, it's freaking dumb. And I don't know why I'm continuing to watch it. Just like on the hopes that just, there's just like one episode that explains why it's been so shitty.
I'm
pushing through because there's a lot of cool elements about it that I'm like, yes, I'm here for that.
There's oh my God, I forget his name, but on YouTube, he watched all of Chucky season 3 because like from the very beginning, he's just like, okay, it's got to get better, right? Like it has to get better by the end. And by the end, he's just like, yeah, okay, no more. Like, please, God, no season 4. And you know what? I have seen how season 3 ends. And honestly, the reaction I have is, what the fuck was that? It's like the weirdest way to end, honestly, probably anything in the Chucky franchise. I feel it's saying a lot considering it's based off a freaking voodoo killer doll.
Yeah. Dude, they dropped the ball so hard. It's not even funny. It's like all of the cool elements from the trailer, because the trailer looked sick. Like all of the cool elements from that were so short or so cut off or just were in such a bad context. It was horrible. They're like, they actually like, there was a character in the trailer for Acolyte that you see with a jet, like a lightsaber whip. And yeah, it's super freaking killer. And so the clip that you see in the trailer, that is all you get. That was like the last like couple shots. Yeah, that was the last couple shots of the most recent episode. So I'm like, dude, if that's all we get from that damn lightsaber, I'm gonna be beyond pissed.
Yeah, that'd be bullshit.
Yeah, and it's bad. So anyway, like, I don't know why I'm doing that to myself. I think at this point I'm just hate watching it.
No, don't do that. That's how we got a Velma season 2.
Dude, I learned my lesson from Velma and I was like, nope, I have not watched season 2.
Oh yeah, dude, I refuse. Like, it was fun when we watched it together, but I ain't watching that shit on my own.
No, absolutely not. I know shit. I know like the bullet points of shit that happens. And I'm like, that's all I need. Like, I didn't really need that, but okay.
The only thing I know from season 2 is Scrappy Doo kills Velma. That's all I've heard. That's all I really, I mean, I don't give a shit, but that's all I've heard. That's all I care to know.
Yeah. It's moving like, good. Yep. Thank Hopefully God. That's just the end of her
story. Maybe Scrappy will finally get his due. Because he gets way too much hate after this.
Oh, man. It's like, yeah, Scrappy kind of was a weird character, but he did kill that version of Velma, so.
He was annoying as hell, but, you know what, maybe I'll give him a second.
It's like, he evened it out. And then what else? Yeah, so I watched the movie that I'm about to talk about, and then after I finished that, I was like, ooh, I've had this movie on my watch list for years now, and I'm finally like giving it a watch. And that's Warcraft, which is on Netflix right now. It's,
oh no.
Okay, listen, it's not bad. It's not like, from what I've seen, it's not bad. It does feel like they are very much trying to rush into a story. and not giving a decent enough background, because it's just like they throw in these random characters. I'm like, okay, who the shit is this? And it's like they almost like expect me to know who these people are. And then they give these characters beef. And I'm like, well, shit, like, what's up with this shit now? And it's so fast. And I've only watched like maybe 10 minutes of it. And I'm like not a whole lot. But the intro was killer. I'm like, freaking A, because they got like orcs and shit. And the orcs look dope. And yeah, so I was like, all right, sick. And they got to the humans, and it's just like they're rushing all these storylines. And I'm like, okay, I don't understand what it is that you're doing. Like, there was just this random character that was like doing like, I guess, a magical autopsy of some sort. And then they're like, he gets called in, or like this other random dude who's with dwarves for some reason is like, these dwarves are like four, like I said, there's so much going on. I keep forgetting that different aspects are at play. So these dwarves gives this dude a gun. They call it a boomstick, but it's a gun. And then they're just like, then they get a raven, and then he's like, oops, you gotta go. And he's like, what do you mean? And he looks at it, and then he's gone, and he's at this new place now. And then there's like a magical autopsy that's happening. And so he like grabs this dude who's like a prisoner of some, like, that they're like, hey, we arrested this guy who's trying to do like some sort of like investigation or whatnot. So he like barges into this room, grabs this dude, slams him on the table, and he's just like, who are you? And he's just like, he tells him like, I am doing this autopsy there, like there's something that we need to do, and he's like, or investigate and blah blah blah, and he's like, okay, and lets him up. They go and like do this investigation. He's like, this green smoke comes out of this dead dude's mouth, and then he's just like, we need to speak to the king. And then they're suddenly at the castle with the king, and I'm like, dude, what, slow down. And then I know if I passed out and fell asleep, but I was just like, dude, like, am I just tired?
Like, right, it could just be a bad movie.
I hope not, because it looks sick. But I'm also not, like, I think that's also been my hesitation with starting it again.
I will say, when you finish, I'm curious to hear, because I feel a good comparison to this would be Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. So I'd love to hear which one did it better, because I hate when movies like literally don't give you a chance to freaking breathe. It's like plot point after plot point after plot point. It's like, okay, give me a minute to just soak in all the story that you just gave me.
Yeah. This feels like you jumped in the middle of the movie.
Oh yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, or like you jumped in like for a sequel or something, like just something where you're not, where you didn't get the intro. And it's
starting to understand why it underperformed at the box office.
Yeah, I am too, fortunately. But anyway, getting into the movie that I did watch this week, I've finally got to see Kung Fu Panda 4, and it was a bit of a letdown, if I'm being 100% honest.
Said like every reviewer ever, honestly, with this movie.
It was just an unnecessary story. Like, this is supposed to be Po's journey to becoming the spiritual leader of the Valley of Hope or whatever. And I don't know if they did this right. Like, this is him not wanting to give up his position as the Dragon Warrior, and he's tasked with selecting the new Dragon Warrior, and he has all these like potential candidates, and he's like, nah to any of them. And he's like, oh my gosh, like, I'm I will continue to be the Dragon Warrior and stuff. And then Master Shifu's just like, nah, that's not how this works. Then he has a run-in with this thieving fox, and these whole like events happen, and it's just, yeah. Anyway, like, surprise, surprise, the crazy stealing fox that has issues becomes the new Dragon Warrior, and Poe trains her, and it's unnecessary because it feels like they jumped into the his whole arc or what his arc was supposed to be. Like, he's so like, oh, I'm the dragon warrior. And then he even goes into the final fight as like, I'm the dragon warrior. And then he gets like captured or some shit, or like you think he's captured. And so he's like, basically passes the mantle on to this, to the fox chick. She beats the bad guy. And then Poe breaks out of his little cage and he's just like, I knew you could do it. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, I sure as hell didn't.
Dude, you say that just reminds me of like freaking with Toy Story 4. It literally go like the way that you're describing, like how Poe is in this one compared to how he is in the other ones. Just reminds me how like Woody just does a completely 180 in Toy Story 4. Whereas in the third one, you know, all that matters is making a kid happy. That's what matters.
At least you could justify Woody's.
That's true.
To a certain extent.
That's fair. You can't
justify Poe's for shit.
All right. Okay. I'll give you that.
Like, at least with Woody, you could be like, okay, Bonnie was kind of neglecting him and he was kind
of feeling. That still pisses me off.
Yeah.
Because Woody was her favorite toy at the end of Toy Story 3. Like, that is just bullshit.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, it's exactly like. You can make the justification why Woody decided to bounce. Poe, he's just like random, just like, oh, you can do it. And I'm like, what the shit? Like, you've never alluded to the fact that that was the case.
So can we say that the only good fourth movie that DreamWorks has done is Shrek Forever After?
Yes.
Yes.
I could say that.
Yay, good.
But yeah, Kung Fu Panda 4 was a bit of a letdown. They had some stuff that did make me like genuinely laugh and stuff I thought was cool. Like they had a scene, like none of the Furious 5 were in this movie, which kind of sucked.
It's because they didn't want to pay the actors.
Yeah, but they were in, they came in at the end, and, but they non-speaking.
Oh, of course.
But they came in at the end. And it's so cool. It's just like I brought in some special teachers for you today. And then boom, like they kick open the door and it's the Furious Five. And I'm like, ah! But they didn't speak. And I'm just like, okay, dumb. But it was funny. The route that I feel they should have gone with this is that I think Poe should have from the beginning like known or had the feeling, like I think this should have been something that like Shifu would have struggled with, because Shifu put on Poe that his job was to find the new dragon warrior and he was resistant about it. I feel like he would have been super pumped for the whole spiritual leader journey, and like I think he would have like, it would have been better had he selected the fox chick. Like, this is who I feel should be the next dragon warrior. And then Master Shifu's just like, no, no, no. And then he's like, nah, like let's get this on the, let's get this adventure on the books. Like, we'll just do it on the job training kind of situation. And then you could have still had like the whole, like you could have still had a majority of like what you had in the movie. Like action wise, like I think that would have been really cool. It's just having Poe always kind of believe that she was meant to be the dragon warrior. And then like when she's like, okay, yeah, I'm not facing this chick. And then Poe steps in, tries to fight, gets his ass handed to him. Then he's like, you got to do it. And then has her do it. Like, I think that would have been the better route to go about it. Like having Poe basically prove to everyone that this thieving fox is meant to be the dragon warrior versus him like trying to retain his role. Anyway, that's how I think it should have gone. It didn't. It was not very good. This was so close to being a nothing better to do, but like I said, I had enough of a good time with like the action sequences, and there was some stuff in here that was genuinely funny. Like they have these crazy little rabbits that are just like bloodthirsty, And it is the funniest shit, dude. Like Poe's tries teaching them this lesson that's like, listen, like he says it wrong, but he's just like, they get across that like, oh, you can perform violence now or you can perform more violence later. And they're just like, no, violence now, violence now. And then they like escape or some shit. And then they're like part of the final battle. And they're fighting against like the main person's minions. And so they like tear this like little lizard thing apart. And then then they're like, the panda was right. More violence later is better.
God.
Like, it was so funny. But it was just because of like those random moments that made me boost, like it barely crossed the threshold into a stream it for me. It was walking the line of nothing better to do.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But anyway, what did you watch?
I watched Role Models. Now I have seen this before, but it'd been like freaking, oh my God, probably like 5 or so years. It's been quite a while. And so I saw that it was recently added to Netflix. And so I'm like, yeah, you know what? Let's give that another run. Let's see if I still enjoy it. And I do. It's still a really fun comedy. It's so weird seeing Paul Rudd. I'm not going to say in like his early career, because this was not his early career, but I'm just so used to seeing him like post Ant-Man that like seeing him like this young is just like super weird to me.
What are you talking about? He looks the exact same.
I know, but he's still shut up. He's still young to me. Okay. Shut up. But freaking he's great. Freaking McLovin. I actually don't know his real name. I feel bad. Everyone's still called. I think like
Christopher Mintz.
Thank you. Oh yeah. Christopher Mintz Plaza. That's his name.
Yep.
Thank you. I feel bad now because he's a great actor and he's fantastic here. Freaking as the kid that's really into LARPing, and especially the people that surround him are hilarious. Ken Jeong as the freaking king. Like, oh my God. I love him in this. Like the supporting cast is just fantastic. Freaking Jane Lynch, she's fantastic. The other kid, I forget his name. One second. No, that is not what I wanted. Wait, where is it? Oh, that is it. Sorry. Why isn't he in the top cast? How does that make sense? Not make what that? I suck. Okay, it's giving me a different movie. Okay, anyway, moving on. Because freaking it's giving me the wrong movie here. This is bullshit. Because I remember he's in That's So Raven. There we go. How do I say this name? So his name's Ronnie, but freaking, oh, what's his? I don't. Oh, is it just Bob? Oh, I'm assuming it's just Bobby J. Thompson. Like, I think that's how you say it. Like, I'm kind of confused because there's a hyphen over the E. So I'm assuming it's still just Bobby. I'm assuming it's still just Bobby. But anyway, sorry that took so long. it's still a really fun comedy. It's not a great comedy. But I once again had a great time. Freaking, I love the chemistry between Rudd and what's his name? Sean William Scott. I actually think they have really good chemistry. And even the scenes with Rudd and Elizabeth Banks are great. Once again, had a great time with this comedy. And actually like talked with Caleb because he remembers watching this not too long ago and he had a good time with it. So gonna be giving this a stream it. So
hell yeah. Is that anything else you watched this week or was that it?
Movies, that's it. Shows. I've been actually so they recently announced, I don't know how I missed this. This was announced last month. Who's playing John Wayne Gacy in the Peacock limited series that they're doing on him? Because they did like their own documentary, John Wayne Gacy, Devil in Disguise. But now they're like flipping that title. It's going to be Devil in Disguise, John Wayne Gacy. And they're literally doing what they did for Dahmer with that monster series on Netflix. And so it's the guy that played the Tinkerer in Spider-Man Homecoming. He's playing him. Great casting. I'm so freaking excited. But ever since that was announced, I've been actually rewatching Dahmer. And freaking, like, I forgot how, like, in some episodes, how unsettling it is.
Oh, man.
And like, you know, it needs to be like, it's completely understandable. But freaking Evan Peters, wait, right? That's
yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure I got his name right. I'm so glad that he won a Golden Globe for his performance as Dahmer. Cause oh my, like I was telling Caleb, because I was talking about, you know, the casting for Gacy and, you know, what Peters had to go through with for Dahmer. And just he had to go to so many dark places. And honestly, I don't know if he's ever going to fully be able to come back from that. And I hope he's doing okay. Like, seriously, like, when was the last time anyone checked in on Evan Peters? Like, I truly hope he's doing okay.
Dude, that is a fair point.
Oh man. But yeah, so I'm on episode 5 right now, and freaking like I remember the ending of episode 4 and like the storyline it leads into, it's like one of his saddest victims, and I'm just like, oh, I'm not ready to go through this again. But yeah, so that's what I've been watching, and then watching Still Young Sheldon, finally on season 6, so almost done with that.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so I just looked up what Evan Peters is doing. He voiced Simon in Wish, which I think is the big guy, the sleepy one.
Oh, okay. Dude, I straight up had to think what Wish was for a second. I forgot about that movie.
And he is also set to appear in Tron Ares.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
Okay. So it seems like he's doing okay.
Yeah. It seems like he's doing okay.
Okay. Thank goodness.
Which, dude, that freaking movie looks like it's going to be sick.
Yeah, it does.
Like the cast is freaking nuts. So Jeff Bridges is coming back for it.
No shit.
He's on the cast list.
All right. I was a little, you know, I was a little hesitant, but you know, I was looking forward to it. All right, I'm completely on board if Jeff Bridges is coming back
in. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that covers everything in weekly watch. So let's say we move on to this week's breakdown.
Let's do it.
Hell yeah. Alrighty, getting into this week's breakdown, we will be discussing the new Netflix film. Oh, geez, I'm struggling with talking today. We will be breaking down the new Netflix film, A Family Affair. Dude, there was a lot of F sounds in that.
You know, I know most people listen to this. They don't watch the video that Caleb posted these episodes. But I find it hilarious that because usually before we do our breakdowns, Caleb will have a screen that says, oh, hey, this is what we're going to be doing. And, you know, he'll have the title of the movie. I just love that above A Family Affair has the Netflix film logo. I didn't know Netflix was so adamant on making sure every single time that you have to take a title from their movie, they got to make sure that you know it's a Netflix original.
You usually don't. You usually don't. It's just I was too lazy to crop it out this time.
That was hilarious. So I love that.
Yeah. So anyway, if you guys are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we will be scoring this week are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we'll be given our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers will get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. So if you have not seen A Family Affair, it is on Netflix. Otherwise, if you have not watched it, we are going to be spoiling the entire freaking movie for you in our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose. So without further ado, I will be posting that spoiler warning now. So if you listen beyond this point and anything is spoiled for you, sucks to be you.
Yeah, what he said. All right. 20 fear.
Ooh, you're starting the reading off quick, huh?
Yeah. Okay. 24 year old Zara is tired of being underappreciated as the personal assistant to self-absorbed Hollywood star Chris Cole. Okay, really, really quickly, I found this hilarious, and I'm sure this was intentional. The freaking montage they do of Zac Efron at the beginning, I just found it so funny. They literally just took that from clips of his life.
Dude, that's exactly what I thought they did. I was like, you can't fake all this, right?
No, dude. Like the one that, like, I knew it was freaking when he got his name on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Like, I remember seeing this clip a couple months ago.
Oh my gosh, dude, that is so funny.
But I mean, you know what? Hey, way to say funny,
dude. I was just laughing about that. Like during that whole thing, I was like, dude, like they either went through all of the effort to recreate this shit, or they went and just like copy and pasted some footage from other like movie screenings and shit. And I can't believe that's exactly what they did. That's fantastic.
Oh man. Way to save on the budget, guys.
Yeah, no joke. I'd love to know how much money that saved you.
Like, seriously. All right. A short time after Zara quits, Chris arrives at her house to offer her an assistant producer position, but only finds Brooke, her mother who writes stories, as Zara Wow. Okay. Let's restart this, shall we? A short time after Zara quits, Chris arrives at her house to offer her an assistant producer position, but only finds Brooke, her mother who writes stories, as Zara runs errands. As he decides to wait for her, he explains to Brooke that his script is bad and they soon hit it off. By the time Zara returns, she unknowingly walks in on Brooke and Chris having sex. Chris promises Zara it won't happen again, but Chris invites Brooke to dinner. Before they realize it, Zara's boss is having a secret romantic relationship with her widowed mother. Meanwhile, at the film studio, Zara is agitated with Chris. Zara learns Chris got a new writer, who she later finds out is Brooke, and later confronts them after seeing them together. The mom says she's happy with Chris and hasn't been this happy since she was with her husband, disregarding her daughter's pain and her concern he will hurt Brooke. The family goes to Granny's... Usually I feel with like these descriptions, they like to be, you know, like a little formal. So you think they would say the family goes to grandma's house, not granny's house, but okay. For Christmas, grandma, I'm going to say grandma, cause I don't like saying granny.
Granny feels disrespectful.
Right. Thank
you. I know there's like some people that do genuinely call their grandparents like granny or like grampy. Like I've heard some people like legit. I've heard that. Or like
Grampy just feels so weird.
I know it does. I've heard that. I've heard like gramps, like Grampy, Granny, like all that shit. Something about Granny feels disrespectful.
Oh, I agree. Yeah,
and no, 100%. I'm like, I don't love that.
Yeah, agree. Yeah,
like I mean, I don't know about you. I always called my grandma, grandma.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no. Never would have had it any other way. She was always great. She was either grandma or Grandma Rose. That was it.
Yeah. Never like full name to her face, unless you were introducing her. Oh, this is my grandma. Like mine was like, this is my grandma Warren.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
I'm going to restart because we're going to be respectful. So the family goes to grandma's house for Christmas. Grandma convinces Zara to let her mom have fun. Chris is there for Christmas and Zara's okay. I don't know the way that someone wrote this. It just feels very weird. Like, maybe it's just me, but whatever. Chris is there for Christmas and Zara's okay with it. Brooke tells her mother-in-law that she was having relationship problems with Zara's dad even before he died, and Zara overhears this conversation. Later, while putting bags in the car, Zara notices diamond earrings in Chris's bag. At home, Zara tells both Brooke and Chris how bad Chris is, claiming that he buys the same earrings for everyone he breaks up with and that he already has a pair ready. This revelation prompts Brooke to ask Chris to leave. Later, at the movie studio, Zara is asked to find Chris, who is upset and alone. Chris confides in her, expressing doubt about playing the good guy. He clarifies that he wasn't planning to break up with Brooke. He just forgot the earrings were in his bag because he often ends relationships impulsively. Zara then goes to Brooke, admitting she was wrong about Chris, but Brooke refuses to listen. Zara and Chris head to the supermarket to pick up a few things. Coincidentally, at the same time, Brooke is there. However, this encounter is no coincidence. Zara orchestrated it. She takes the opportunity to explain her mistake and apologize to both of them. Following this reconciliation, Chris and Brooke get back together, and a year later, their relationship is still growing strong. I like how they just left out Liza Koshy's character in this.
Dude, story. If there was ever a character that was completely unnecessary, it was her.
I liked her character.
Listen, I liked her too. Doesn't mean she was necessary to the story whatsoever.
All right, fair. Still, though, she should have been mentioned.
Listen, if she needed a place to stay when things got awkward with her mom, she should have gone to stay with her grandmother, who was obviously local.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, you got a point there.
You did not need to throw in this best friend drama that was completely unnecessary.
Fair enough. Good point. Good point.
But listen, don't get me wrong. I liked her too. I've liked her in every other movie I've seen her in. She's always kind of been the fun, quirky person, and I love it.
Yeah, no, she plays it very well.
But in terms of like what the story needed, not necessary.
All right. You got a point, asshole.
Hate to be that guy. I hate to be that guy.
I don't think you do hate being that guy. I think you enjoy it sometimes.
I mean, not all the time, but.
But so you admit some of the time. Okay. That's all I needed to hear.
I'll take it. Oh, man. Dude, getting right into this story. It had some fluff in this that could have been trimmed up a bit. I don't think this warranted a full, like, it was over 2 hours, wasn't it?
It was almost 2 hours.
Almost 2 hours?
Yeah. It could have been
okay, hour 54.
Yeah. It could have been an hour and a half, easy.
Yes. I think there was a few bits that went on just a hair too long that they could have trimmed down. Like, I think this just needed a little bit more fine-tuning, I feel.
Yes, absolutely.
But other than that, I mean, I've said it time and time again. I'm a freaking sucker for a good rom-com. And this didn't scratch that itch.
Yeah, same here.
I think it was just the situation felt icky. Leaves you feeling icky.
Yeah, because, you know, they like, as you heard, they do end up together. And I don't know, but like I was honestly on Zara's side the whole time.
I was too. I was absolutely on her side too.
I never changed sides even after what grandma said. It's like, nah, still doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it's like, okay, if this were just some like, if she had genuinely left him, like left his employment, then yes, I would have been like, okay, just let her have her fun. Like you've already left, like you've figured that shit out. It was the fact that she was still employed by him that felt gross.
Yeah.
It was just like, ugh, like it almost feels like she's getting paid to ignore that that her boss is doing her mom. And it was like, yeah. I think that's what felt gross to me.
It gets better for her when we get to like a year later and, you know, she has her own office and everything. But I would think that if I was Zac Efron's character and I was, you know, banging one of my employees' moms, I'm not just going to offer her an executive producer.
That felt gross too. Yeah. I'm like, dude, like your timing is wretched.
Yeah. Like sweeten the deal at least a little more than that.
Dude, no. Cause then it's like, I don't know about her or like how they would have like portrayed this. I would have felt like, okay, did I only get this position because you doinked my mom? Or are you offering me this position because you feel like I actually earned it?
Yeah, fair enough.
Like that, I think that's what felt gross to me. I'm just like, it feels like this dude's almost bribing her. Like, please let me like have a relationship with your mother. This is like, ew, no.
She should have tried to work her way into being director. I think she could have done it.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like they try to glamorize what producers really do.
Yeah.
Like, what? I do genuinely feel that there is a position where, like, it's kind of like this, where there's someone directly handling or, like, part of like the movie making process for like different celebrities. It's just, I don't know if that's a producer job though.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna reach out to Mikey T and see if like, hey, how accurate, like how much of like a production thing is, like how accurate is that? Because I thought producers were just the money people.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Dan, I feel like if we could have gotten him on for this episode, talking about this would have been more fun than talking about the movie.
It probably. But yeah, it like this had some stuff that like made me laugh.
I feel like all the scenes where like they were actually like on set, especially when Joey King's character was just like, oh hey, you know, like I'll interpret for you so you can, you know, like actually as a director, so you can actually, you know, say what you want to in French. You know, you don't have to you don't have to get it across in English because her English wasn't that great. And then she freaking just lays out. She'll say, oh, you like in French, she's like, oh, you know, that wasn't that was good, but I think you can do better. Joey King would just be like, that was bullshit. That sucked ass. Loved that scene.
Dude, I would have laughed my ass off if they revealed that he actually spoke French.
Oh, that would have been great.
That would have been so funny.
Damn it.
Like, especially like after she like had dug herself like that big of a hole, she's like, uh-huh. And then like had her like talk to her in French. I thought that would have been so good.
Damn it, missed opportunity.
I know. I think that would have, I feel like that would have been a really good gag. Cause like after it was just, it felt mean spirited. Like I think if he would have been in on the joke, I think that could have been really funny. But yeah, just like as like it got to a point where it felt mean-spirited. That's one of those bits that I felt went a little too long.
I think he still deserved it all the way, so didn't feel mean-spirited to me.
Yeah, but dude, I was getting back absolutely on her side. The especially when she saw the earrings, dude, I'm like, you better blow this shit up immediately, if not sooner.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is some horse shit. And like, dude, even when he's defending, like, I just got them off instinct. Bullshit. Go screw yourself.
Like, when Nicole Kidman's character is just like, I wish she would have done it differently. I'm like, how else would you have wanted her to do it?
I know. It's like
the way that she did it was completely justified.
You were about to go off with him to do some New Year's Eve bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that shit have stung a little bit more? And then you would have been on my ass about, like, hey, like, I don't, like, yeah, like, there was no winning. There's no winning when you're breaking news like that.
No, absolutely not.
And, yeah, like, there's no winning. And I'm like, dude, she saved you a shit ton of heartache.
Yeah. But then they just had to get back together.
Yeah, but yeah, it was
I think that they should have just stayed friends. Like, I would have been fine if they, you know, like, after everything that they went through, they just remained friends. That's great. I didn't need to see them get back together. Like, no.
Yeah. I think that she could have gone and, like, mended the relationship and then, like, yeah, opened it up for, like, a friendship type deal.
Yeah.
But where, like, a full get together and, like, dude, even like if I was trying to stage my mom up with someone, like, I would not go even remotely as far as she did. Like, because in the end, that's still your mom, dude.
Yeah, dude, right. You know what I found funny? And, you know, maybe it's just, you know, my job that this pissed me off, but the ending scene when they're in the grocery store and you see the misters going off in the background, I see a mister going off by, like, the salad dressings and juices. I'm just like, why the fuck is that over there? Those are going to get wet. This is bullshit. Like, what the fuck is up with that? And then freaking, like, everything just starts getting wet. And I'm just like, you know what? If I worked in this produce department, I would have quit. I would literally have just thrown in the towel, throw my apron. I'm like, F this shit. I'm out.
Dude, you just see one dude in the background. We can't keep doing this.
No, dude, for real.
Oh, man. Yeah,
really quick. When Joey King, like, tells the cashier, you know, like, oh, just let them go for as long as they want. He'll pay, like, the extra cost to keep them on. And I'm saying, is he going to pay for the water damages too?
Because
it's going to happen.
I thought that bit was really funny. And this is one I wish would have gone on for a couple more sequences. Is Chris seeing stuff in the supermarket? Because when he ran to go get the cereal, when he went to, like, when he saw the cereal, he's like, oh, no way. And then he ran off. I was like, dude, that's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, they should have kept that guy going.
Yeah. And then I thought it was funny when he was talking. He's just like, listen, like, I want to take you home and all that, but first, I want to go check out that cereal aisle. It looks pretty sick. Like, I thought that shit was funny. Zac Efron does really good comedic stuff.
He does. He doesn't get enough appreciation for that. But yeah. If I were him, I'd be going for the Oreo aisle. But that's just me.
That would have been a funny callback, too.
Because, like, they're right. There's way too many flavors of Oreos now. Like, geez.
Yeah. Dude, when he was talking about the misters and everything, I was just like, oh, dude, those were the bomb. I haven't seen misters in so long, dude.
Same here.
I miss those, because Fresh Market or back when it was Albertsons, that used to have misters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At least I remember it having misters.
Interesting.
Yeah. Did they? Yeah. Because we used to go to Albertsons all the time, and we had like they were definitely misters. Because we'd always like be really disappointed if we went through a whole shopping trip and the misters didn't go off.
No, that's fair. I mean, like they're not as I don't know how to say this. I guess they're not as cool as they used to be. That's what I would say.
Do you guys still mist stuff, or do you like manually do it, or like how does that go?
No. You still got the mist.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I feel they're not as cool as they used to be.
Maybe it's just because we got older.
Yeah, fair enough.
But anyway, the story wasn't half bad. It was predictable as all hell. I think that's my only real complaint, which it's a rom-com. Like, those are predictable by nature. But yeah, I think it's just the my only real issue is how they structured the story. I think that they should have put a little bit more of a separation between Zara and Chris for that relationship with her mother to feel not as icky.
Precisely.
But overall, I mean, I, like I said, didn't hate the movie. It was good. I'd personally be sitting at like 79. Haven't quite cracked the 80s.
I'm getting, if it wants to load for me, I am going to actually be a little bit lower than you. I'm going to be at a 76.
Fair enough. All right. Next up, we got writing, which I think this was a higher point.
Absolutely. Like, there were some good one-liners, like freaking, when Zara quits and, you know, she's headed out the door and Chris is just like, oh, you know, if you quit, we're done. And I just love the way that she says, sayonara, bitch.
Dude, I love died. My favorite bit was when he was yelling at her not to slam the door. And it's like this big old massive, like heavy door. And when she shuts it, it's just like, ka-doom. And he's like, don't you slam that door. Don't you slam that door. Then it like, and he's like, oh, like got so pissed off.
Dude, freaking the fact that he makes, I forget what material it is, but he makes such a freaking, he has a hissy fit that Zara puts a type of shirt in a bag
with his shoes.
Yeah, with his shoes. And then freaking when he's about to have sex with, oh my God, what's Nicole Kidman's character again? I forgot her name.
Brooke.
Brooke, thank you. When he's about to have sex with Brooke, she's just like, do you want to take it off or do you just want me to rip it? He's like, oh, I only have two, but I don't care. Just rip it. I'm like, all right, double standard. All right, okay. I get it. I understand why. It makes sense, but like, still.
Man, that was some good shit. Oh, man. There was a decent amount of like funny bits in this. And like when he was calling her and like asking her about the grocery store and like, oh, does it still have this? Like, how's the Oreo aisle? And then she's like, oh, it's kind of gotten crazy. And like, I liked how a lot of the stuff that he was saying and like how she was reacting was like how a normal person would react. Like when he was saying like, yeah, could you also like just pick me up something fun? Like, I don't know, just something fun. What the does that mean?
She's like, your definition of fun and mine are way different.
Yeah. But I freaking love that shit, dude. I thought that was so funny.
Like, it was a serious moment, like, when Zara is telling her mom the truth about Chris. But I love the line when she's like, he makes me buy his dog's birthday presents, and I have to pay for it with my own money. And he's just like, yeah, but that's what it's an actual surprise.
It's supposed to be a surprise. I love that that's the one thing he tried to defend. Right? Dude, my other favorite thing is when she walks in on them and then she like tries to run out and like bashes her head against the wall. And then he comes out like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And she's just like, "His skin's so close to me. Gross." Dude, that was some good stuff. I
don't think any woman would ever say that about Zac Efron. I think that's just what made it funnier.
Yeah, that was so good. I love that, dude. I love that little bit.
That was
there was a lot of like really funny stuff in this.
Like, I feel a lot of it came from Joey King. Like, she had some amazing one-liners in this.
Oh yeah. Dude, her and Zac Efron work so well together.
They do. I want to see them in another movie together. Like, just not a romantic comedy.
Yeah. Dude, I wish that I would have paid more attention to the trailers in this. Because what I thought this movie was going to be and what it ended up being were so wildly different.
I didn't even watch any of the trailers, so I got to hear, like, what did you think?
Okay, so I was under the assumption from the little bits and pieces that I saw, I thought that they were brother and sister.
Oh.
And so, like, and then, like, when the movie started and she, like, he was, like, texting her, like, "Where the F are you?" Like, all this shit, and he's like, "You are so fired." Like, I'm like, that's shit I feel like I'd say to my sibling.
Yeah, same here.
Like, if they worked for me in that capacity and whatnot, and then like all this other stuff, and then they started talking, it like it took me a while to realize that they weren't, and I'm like, this doesn't quite feel like brother sister. So like the banter does,
yeah.
I'm like, but the it got to a point where I was like, nah, that's not it. So yeah, I thought this was going to be a wildly different movie. I feel like that could have been a really fun dynamic though, too.
Oh, and yeah,
it was absolutely. Like a brother sister deal. I think that could have been fun.
Maybe the next movie they're in together. I would love to see that.
Yeah. Writing. I'd actually go up on writing a little bit. Not quite in like 85, but I'm like 83.
You're gonna hit. I'm like not even like cracking 80s. I'm close. I'm at 79. It's good. It's a lot better.
I had a feeling I was gonna like this one a little bit more than you. Like you're not as big of a sucker for rom-coms as I am.
This is true. I still enjoy them, but yeah, definitely not as much of a sucker.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we got acting, which going through this cast list, we have Joey King, who played Zara Ford, Zac Efron, who played Chris Cole, Nicole Kidman, who played Brooke Harwood, Kathy Bates, who played Leela Ford. And Liza Koshy, who played Eugenie, and that was it. So I would be genuinely surprised if our top three doesn't kind of line up.
It's fair enough. So number one for me, Joey King,
absolutely
phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal, like my favorite role that she's ever been in, because freaking this girl is really good at comedy, and just freaking every time that she was on screen, I loved her. She was fantastic. And just, yeah, like literally no bad things to say about her. She was fantastic in this movie.
Dude, I love her. This is not my favorite role of hers.
What is your favorite?
The princess.
Okay, she was really good in that.
Dude, I loved her in that movie. So much.
She's an underrated actress. She deserves to get some more love.
I want to see her in another action movie. Dude, they straight up tried to rip off the princess, I feel, with that movie Damsel.
Fair.
I'm like, no, you already had a freaking badass freaking kicking everyone's ass. Like, you don't get two.
Number two, I give to Zac Efron.
Honestly,
despite the actual like relationship with him and Nicole Kidman, like feeling a little icky.
I think him it was by just the situation around it. Like, I don't think it was fair. The relationship itself. I think it was just the situation. Like,
no, that's
him being like her daughter's boss felt gross.
Yeah, no, yeah, agreed with what you said.
I think like you pointed out, it did feel better at the end though, when it was like a year had passed and she was like a higher up in his company, and that felt better.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad that they did that whole thing. But no, he super solid performance. Like Kayla pointed out, Zac Efron is really good with comedy, and not a lot of people notice that. But every single comedy movie he's in, he freaking like kills it. So like while the, you know, he had to be dramatic in some parts, when it comes to the comedy, he freaking nailed it in this movie. So I would give him number two.
Dude, I just have to point out his ability to play awkward is so good.
Yeah, like, no, like seriously.
Or at the end, like when it had been like that year had passed and she was like talking or she was doing something. He made a "that's what she said" or "that's what your mom said" joke. And then he's like, "wait, no, wait." Like trying to like apologize for it. It was so good.
That was great. He's number two. Number three. I think we might be different. Number three, I'm actually giving it to Liza
Koshy. I swear to you, she wasn't in this movie enough for a top spot, you asshole.
I disagree. I think she was. I loved her role as Zara's best friend. Freaking the one-liners that she had were freaking great. And I loved the scene where, she had broken up with her boyfriend, but Zara never even noticed. And so they kind of have a kerfuffle. I don't think that's a word, but whatever. I don't know. But anyway, you know, like friendship restored after that and everything. But I don't know. Just, I really enjoyed her performance in this. I know she wasn't in a lot, but she still made an impact on me. And yeah, so that's why she's my number three. I love Nicole Kidman. Don't get me wrong. She was really good in this. But sorry, Liza Koshy.
I feel like you also have a major crush on her.
I actually do not. So
that feels
suck
like
it.
Bullshit. I do. That feels like a lie. All right. Well, I'm giving number three to Nicole Kidman.
She was amazing, but just
She was fantastic. She doesn't do comedy a whole lot, and she was kind of one of the more serious people in this film. She had like a couple moments that were funny, but yeah, I don't think she like her character. I think her character could have been written a bit more. I want to say personality. Because it just felt like a very generic role for her, at least to a certain extent. But I think the chemistry that she had and like was able to put off with Zac Efron was like magnetic.
Yes, can definitely agree with you on that.
Like you totally bought into why she was into him, and
Zac Efron. Like, can you blame her? Like. Spoiler alert, Zac Efron's hot.
Not going to deny that. But yeah, it's just, I think she could have been given a little bit more flavor, is the word I'll use.
That's a good way to put it.
But yeah, so where are you sitting with your acting score?
Acting, like, I feel like everyone really did a good job. What the hell happened to the freaking scoring? It's all. If I reload the scoring, it won't mess up any of the scores, will it? Like, that's no, like.
Shouldn't.
Okay. Sorry. Just like everything's gone. There it is. Okay. All right. So acting, just because I feel actually everyone brought their A game, like acting was super, super good here. So I think I'm going to go an 86.
Surprising. I was actually a little lower than you on that one. I did think everyone brought the level of acting that they needed to for this. It was not their best by any stretch of the imagination, but it was still good. So I ended up giving them an 85.
All right, fair enough.
All right, next up we got character development, which this is obviously going to be done on Zara's character. And it felt rushed.
It did. It ain't definitely the greatest character development I've ever seen. But I mean, for the story that they're going with, like, yeah, I agree. It definitely felt rushed, but like it worked. I don't know, like, not a lot to say here. You know, like, freaking your boss starts dating your mom. You don't like it. You try to break him up. It actually works. But then you're just like, oh, actually, wait, no, you guys are good together.
Well, that's just it. I don't think she tried to break them up. I think she was just pissed off that they were lying about it. And then she was just kind of like going along with it for a little bit. And then like just frustrated, didn't want to be like in the middle of it. So she moved out or left the house and then kind of came to like an understanding of it. And then she was like told, like, I think she had completely shifted her thoughts on the whole thing until she saw the earrings. And then she was full blown, like, let's freaking go.
Yeah.
Which is completely understandable why she did what she did.
Oh, yeah. And absolutely.
The fact that she was getting shit from her mom is dumb.
Yeah. Like, how else did you expect this to go down?
Yeah, it's like you just thought that I would see this thing and just ignore it until you guys were done having your fun for New Year's or yeah. Like, what'd you think? Like, I was going to like, I didn't know when he was going to whip these out.
Yeah,
like he could have whipped them out like that night.
God, imagine him doing it on New Year's Eve. Just freaking like right as the ball drops. Like, oh, God, like,
what a bitch. Mm-hmm. But I mean, from his perspective, too, it is completely understandable that he would just like buy something off of instinct. And then he's like, ooh, but then I had another idea.
Yeah.
And so like there was some justification on both ends.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But especially on Zara's. And I feel she caught way too much heat for what she did.
Agreed.
So, yeah, but I mean, the arc overall, I don't think was the best thing in the world. Another one thing that was just like fairly bland.
Yeah.
So I'd put this a little bit below average. So I'm like sitting at like 73, and that even feels a little bit high.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to go 75, but I agree with you. Like yours, it feels like a little too nice, so I think I'll match you at a 73.
All right, next up we got effects, which with this movie, it was no special effects, really.
No,
it was just how it was shot, and I feel it was shot pretty nicely.
Yeah, no, it was a very pretty looking rom-com.
Yeah, the sets felt a bit small, though. Like the cabin that they were at for Christmas, that felt very small set.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you that there.
Yeah, so I'm like a little, like just the scale of everything felt very small, which it worked in its favor. It just didn't work as well when everything was supposed to feel big.
Yeah. I will say, though, I think this is the car it is. I don't know why freaking Zara driving around in it. This movie made me want a Toyota Highlander. I think that's what she was driving. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a Highlander. I don't know why freaking she made me want a Toyota Highlander. So whenever yeah, I
like
need
that
a,
was like a super fancy car, though.
Yeah. So, you know, next time I need a car after my Corolla takes a shit on me, I might go for a Toyota Highlander.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah. Effects, though, nothing too special. This is probably a little I'd give it a 78. I think just because of the clips that they took from Zac Efron's actual life, I felt that to be very funny. Other than that, nothing too extravagant. Like I said, the sets felt very small. And yeah, kind of meh.
I agree.
So where are you at?
I think I'm going to actually be a little lower than you at a 76.
Fair enough.
The Highlander didn't bring me up.
All right. I mean, talking about something that didn't really bring us up, the music.
Yeah. I don't remember what it's called, but like the only song that I remember is the song that's playing during the intro when you're seeing freaking all of these clips from Zac Efron's life and they're, you know, passing it off as Chris Cole. It's still freaking hilarious.
Yeah. This one's pretty easy. Very, very average, middle of the road. I'm giving this a 5 out of 10.
And I will absolutely agree with you there.
Yeah. The costumes, I would go up a little bit. Like a 6 feels very generous. And that's just because I thought the outfit that he was in when he was on set was kind of cool.
Dude, yeah, freaking seeing Zac Efron with that white wig, that was freaking hilarious.
Yeah, but that's again middle of the road, just barely pushing above average. So yeah, 6 out of 10 feels exactly where it should be at.
Agreed.
All right, and then last up, we got our own personal score. So let's hear your thoughts on this first.
Okay, so like Caleb was pointed out, he's more of a sucker for rom-coms. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy him, but he's definitely more of a fan. I still did have a good time with this one. Joey King especially, like, she was my favorite part of this movie. Like, if it weren't for her and her performance, I don't think I would have enjoyed this movie as much as I did, if at all. Nothing against Zac Efron and Nicole Kidman. You know, I liked their relationship. That the whole, like, because he was her daughter's boss dating her mom, you know, like that made it like feel a little weird, but you know, they made it work. But just like, I feel if it weren't for what they do with Joey King's character, I don't think I would have enjoyed the movie. So like, it's funny that I enjoyed the main character in a movie that is a rom-com that I should be enjoying the couple that they're actually focusing on. So I just found that a little funny. But for me, it's not the worst rom-com I've seen, but it's definitely not the greatest. So personal score. I think I'll be at a 75.
I am actually barely above you, sitting at a 76. It kind of the same deal for me, dude. It was as plain could get. It was enjoyable. It's kind of like a one time and done for me. Like, I don't need to watch this ever again.
Same here.
Yeah. I mean, it had some good bits, nothing worth going back and like replaying. Like, I'll, if I ever do rewatch this, it's going to be because Brielle turns it on and I just don't have anything else to watch. But yeah, 76, it's as middle of the road as I can get. And I'm just giving a couple bonus, like a bonus point for the stuff that I did enjoy about it. But overall, didn't really work for me. Not really like my taste in rom-coms. But with that, that actually wraps up this week's breakdown. So going through these scores real quick, starting off with story, on the average side, sitting at a 77.5. Writing is a little bit higher at an 81. The acting was the high point of this film, sitting at an 85.5. The character development is the lowest category, sitting at a 73. The effects got a couple points for creativity on the footage that they were able to pull. So that one's sitting at a 77. The music, average as average could be, sitting at a 5 out of 10. The costumes, we had like one good outfit, at least one like the outstanding. And that's definitely like that bump was able to bump it up to a 6 out of 10. And then our personal score ended up averaging out to a 75.5. So with that, the final All Bros letter grade for A Family Affair has come out to a C+.
Oh, wow. I thought it would actually go a little lower.
I thought it was going to go lower, too. That is surprising. That's pretty freaking wild. All right. I'll take it. Wow. That's crazy. All right. Oh, my gosh, dude. No freaking way.
Uh-oh.
This ended up, so this is sitting at a 76.81%, which puts it in the same range as our movie from last week, the Garfield movie. That's wild. Well,
that's cool. That's amazing.
So basically everything that was above Garfield is below this movie. That's fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, like I said, Family Affair sitting at a 76.81 C+. One of our lower C+s. So our cutoff is 76%. So this was a little bit closer to a 77, but not too far. But anyway, this is sitting above Cocaine Bear, Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts.
Yeah, okay.
My Spy and the Garfield movie.
Yeah. Agree with all those.
And then it is sitting below The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. It is below The Strangers, Pray at Night. It is below Aquaman. And then it is below Spider-Man.
Okay. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. I think this has a pretty decent home.
I'm shocked that we don't catch more heat for how low the first Spider-Man ranks.
Oh, dude. We were not kind to that movie whatsoever.
No, we were not.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't like completely disagree with any of the scores that we gave it either. Like the story, we gave a 90. The writing got a 67, and like the only reason I feel it got that, no, you got, remember the only person that had any decent writing was Green Goblin. Everyone else freaking sucked ass.
Yeah, good point.
The acting we gave pretty middle of the road, 74.
Damn.
Yeah, we were, like I said, not very good.
At least put it in the 80s.
Yeah, I think we have a guest on that one.
That was Vic.
Was that Vic?
Yeah.
Then yeah, 81 for character development, which okay. Yeah. 70 for effects.
Oh, come on.
That feels a bit
that feels tough. Low.
Like, come on.
6 out of 10 for music. 7 out of 10 for costumes.
What the hell is wrong with us?
Dude, that feels low. That doesn't feel right, though.
No, it doesn't. All right, Vic.
I know we listen.
We're gonna
get you back on this. I know
we're gonna re-rate this, and we're gonna rate Spider-Man 2.
Gosh, I really hope that I have all of our scores for Spider-Man, and I don't. Damn it!
That sucks.
It's one of the old formats, so I didn't have it separated yet. Damn, that sucks. I think we gave, like, the reason it got that was because of Green Goblin. Like, I think we were giving Green Goblin some major shit.
But why?
Because it wasn't like... Gosh. Do we need to get Vic back on and recreate Spider-Man?
I'm calling for a recreate. And then while we're at it, let's do Spider-Man 2 as well.
I would be down for that.
All right, Vic, I don't know if you listen to these still, but come on, man. Let's do
this.
Dude,
and you're cool. Dude, and you're cool. All right. Well, anyway, so that's where A Family Affair is sitting.
we got a little off topic there. Yeah, we're more so concerned about the injustice that Spider-Man got compared to A Family
Affair. If there's anyone to blame, it's Vic.
Yep. Always Vic.
Oh man,
it's been Victor all along.
All right, well, if you guys enjoyed this episode, want to check out more of our stuff, be sure to follow and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are basically everywhere. We are also on all social media at The All Bros, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, X, YouTube, everywhere. You can also check out our website, tinyurl.com/theallbros, where you can find links to everything that we do, as well as a merch store that I haven't updated in forever and a half.
It's okay.
Yeah, I need to find a quicker way of doing that, but it is not easy. But anyway, so next week, we will more than likely be breaking down Despicable Me 4.
So excited.
Yeah. So we're probably going to have another movie that ends up in this C range. which is good. I think we've had a lot of like decent movies in a row. Like, I think it's time for some shitty ones.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so anyway, you guys can look forward to that next week. Until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we'll catch you guys next week. Deuces.
Shalom.